Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode.
We are excited to be here today with DJ and producer Joanne Lokier, who, as you know, performs under her last name Lokier. In this conversation, we speak about inspiration and losing the motivation for what you do and how to get it back again, what her journey has been like and why she makes other decisions today, as well as how that affects her success and so much more. Let's get to it. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast.
Okay, we are so excited to have you here Podcast. Cheers. You're having some red wine.
Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, I poured myself a glass, and then I was like, oh, there's julmust. It's cold. I don't know if they drink it here, I don't think.
What is it like?
It's like Coca-Cola, but a little bit with Christmas spices, I would say.
Okay.
Do you want to try?
Like blue wine or something?
No, it's a soda drink.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
It's very Swedish.
I like it. Yeah.
I love it. All right, nice. Let's get to it. Yes. What are three words you would use to describe yourself?
Three words would be sensitive, spontaneous, and passionate.
You've always been that?
Yeah, I think so.
When you were a teenager then, who were you like in the school as a sensitive kid?
Well, I was very sensitive, but also I was kind of like an introvert. So I was always on my mind, maybe like overthinking a lot. Like I was, I had friends, but I was kind of like a recluse. Like I didn't want to do what everyone else was doing. I didn't want to be with everyone. Like I really liked my own space. I also had a lot of friends outside of school, so I was hanging out a lot with like other group of friends. I always had my best friend with me. We were always together, but yeah, I was always living kind of in my own world. I've always been very sensitive as well, and not just with feelings, but also with like I'm very sensitive to sounds, to light, to smells, for example.
And to like heat and cold too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I am the same.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, even with music, like, there's some type of like notes, like high notes that make me cry.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm listening to music and immediately I have tears, like some like specific high notes. Also smells, like sometimes I'm like, can you smell that? And people are like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people don't like when you have really good smell.
What do you mean?
They get very clean themselves.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I have that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, all right. But then Because I also feel that you are very strong with what you like and where you want to head. So yeah. Even though you're sensitive and maybe... I mean, how does that work when people are criticizing your work?
Okay, actually, that's interesting. Okay, that opens like a whole story. But like, kind of like when COVID happened, I feel like, well, I guess we were all like very stressed at the time. We didn't really have work, so we were a lot on like social media, you know, on our phones. Yeah. And I felt, and at that moment, I had some like health issues. I have like really loud tinnitus. Also, oh, yeah. I have some like health problems. Like I had COVID. And those like 2 years, I mean, because I'm also very sensitive, I felt like everything was affecting me a lot. Like social, if I would see someone fighting on social media, it would make me feel bad, you know, and like. So, like, at one point, I was like, I can't live like this. I can't, like, you know, like, I felt like I had no private life. Like, my work turned into my private life. So, everything was affecting me, you know. Like, if I had an issue with a coworker, it would feel so personal and direct, you know, like a best friend kind of, something like that. So, I decided to kind of, like, stop putting too much attention to things, like, in work. Like, to put, like, to... not let it affect me too much. But in the end, I thought I was doing something good, but in the end, it was not that good. But because bad things stopped affecting me, but also good things stopped affecting me.
Ah, sounds like you were starting with antidepressants or something.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
But you know, like how can you just decide?
But I kind of built a wall. I kind of like blocked it. And I just like kind of like took a step back. And
very strong brain or mind.
Well, since I was a kid, I always like think a lot. So I kind of built a wall and I took a step back. But in the end, it was not good because like I lost inspiration. I lost like this like not passion, but like maybe passion. But I was just not interested in things anymore. And for like a year, I felt like uninspired. I couldn't produce, you know.
And this was during COVID.
It was right at the end of COVID and like the year after COVID, I just felt uninspired. Like I just couldn't produce, like nothing excited me anymore. And for like a year, I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what should I do? How can I find inspiration again? So I was like, you know, talking to a lot of people and someone told me, maybe find another hobby, you know, like
because you only had music your whole.
Yeah. And I've been DJing for like 14 years. So like, it's not so easy to change to something else, you know, but I've always been very artistic. Like I used to paint before, you know, like I took photos. I was a makeup artist like many years ago. Like I've always done artistic things. And when I was a kid, I did a lot of acting. And my dream as a kid was to become an actress. So I thought like, oh, maybe I can give it a try again, you know.
And this was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've been thinking about acting since COVID probably. But yeah, like a year ago, I decided to take a break from DJing. And that's why I went to Los Angeles for like a month to study acting. And I was like, okay, I need to try it.
How did you find the school? And like, how come you decided Los Angeles is probably the hub to be, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this school was like my dream school since I was a kid because I always wanted to be an actress. So it's the Lee Strasberg School. Like I always wanted to go there, but my parents were like, no, we're not going to pay for that. Yeah. And I was like, mom, now I can afford it myself, so I'm going to go.
Perfect.
And yeah, I learned so much. Like it was not easy at all.
Can I ask, did you just completely disconnected from music?
Yeah. Yeah, for a month. Yeah. I didn't do anything for a month and I switched my focus to something else. But yeah, since I came back, I mean, I feel like I've been slowly coming back to things. And one thing I did that helped me a lot to kind of like reconnect and be inspired again was I realized I didn't have a private life anymore. Like my job was like 24/7, like it was taking my energy, my mental energy 24/7. And I just, you know, my life was like literally gigs, stay at home gigs. Like I didn't have time to meet new people or to date even, you know. I just like, it was like a very lonely feeling also for a while. So I was like, you know, I'm just, I decided not to take things so seriously anymore and just, you know, have fun, take time for myself. I started going out more, and now I'm trying every day to do something fun. I've been trying to meet new people, make new friends, to date again.
Friends who are not, like, involved in music more so?
I'm meeting people outside of the scene. I mean, obviously I have friends, you know, in work,
yeah.
a lot of DJ friends, but also I've been trying to meet people outside and really have a personal life, because, like, yeah. I just... And that really helped me, because now I don't feel so deeply connected to work in a bad way. I just see it as something fun and nice. And it doesn't, little things don't affect me that much anymore. Like you said, like some negative comments or even like.
No, okay. So you can feel a difference. Yeah, I can imagine that that's a, because otherwise your whole life and everything you care for, if one like breaks a stone in a wall, it's like the whole wall tears down.
Yeah.
And if you have like many other things you care about, it's just like, ah, well, next thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
that's so good.
And I can still hear, I mean, for your mental health, and I feel like a lot of DJs can relate, you know, a lot of them can get really affected if a post maybe doesn't work, or, you know, if they get like maybe some negative feedback, or, you know, these little things can really affect some people.
Yeah.
And I reached a point where I just don't think that much about it anymore. Like, you know, in my mind, if I'm like, okay, this didn't work, but the next thing is gonna work, you know?
Ah, great. I love that for you.
Yeah.
So
it really helped
amazing.
Me to feel better. Yeah, definitely.
It also reminds me that I read something about you about when you were a young DJ, so basically probably 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And you were playing the music that you enjoy and people just hated it.
Yeah.
And you continue to play it. Mm. It feels like you're back there
to
somehow.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, I mean, we're all different, but what like makes me excited as a DJ, like I always try to play music that makes me feel excited. So for example, I always try to change my sets, like even though, I mean, I always try not to play the exact same set, like maybe change the order of the tracks or always add a new track, because that feeling you get when you listen to something new, this excitement, I always try to make it for myself, because I feel like if I get this feeling, I can transmit it to the crowd.
Yeah.
So I realized like if I really make me happy, I can make the crowd happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that thing of playing things, maybe people don't like it, but for me, it's like, I even sometimes play, like, tracks that I know are risky, but because I know it's going to make me laugh, and that feeling of, like, nervousness, happiness, you know, like, I can transmit it to the crowd, and sometimes they laugh with me in the end, you know?
Oh my God, I love that.
And I do that especially...
Not taking it too seriously, that's really... Mm.
And I could feel like, I felt like the moment I started to grow like a little bit faster was when I did that. Like, because before I was like a perfectionist and I was always trying to make the perfect mix, the perfect blend, so serious, focused. And then I remember I made this switch in my mind. I was at a gig and I just took, like, I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. Like, I'm not going to be overthinking. Like, I don't care. You know, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. And I started like making jokes with like the people in the front and, you know, doing cheers and stuff like that. And then I started dancing a lot more. And I remember that gig was amazing in the end. Like people really enjoyed it. And since then, like I decided, you know, I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
And things really started to work out more for me when I did that.
And what an amazing tip. Also starting the new year with these words.
Just be happy.
I feel inspired.
Just be happy.
Yeah, just play around. Don't take it too serious.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Okay, but if we look at your musical journey from before even you started DJing and how come you chose it and all this stuff. Where did it start? What's the journey?
Okay, so I actually my background has, it was like rock music, like post-punk. And when I was a teenager, I worked with rock bands for a while when I was like 15. And I was like touring with them and helping the managers, like selling the merchandise. So that was like...
You just applied or...
Yeah. I mean, I had like friends in the music scene, but it was like a different scene, obviously, in Mexico. And we didn't really... I mean, I guess it existed, but it was not very... It was very, very underground. And I was very young to know also. And then I did like a European trip and I went to London. And at the time, it was this kind of like electronic rock that it was very hyped up, like Crystal Castles and stuff like that. And I discovered like electronic rock. So I was like slowly progressing, you know, I was like, oh, I really like this. And it was like, and then digitalism and, you know, like these bands. And then I started listening to that. And then I met some friends in Mexico who were DJs and they literally taught me how to DJ and they taught me about music. But I didn't, I feel like I'm still discovering new genres. Like I didn't even, like no one taught me, like I didn't have that influence. And then when I moved to Europe, when I moved here, I'm still discovering that. Like sometimes yeah. I listen to new music, I'm like, oh, what is that? Like, it, you know, like yeah. I'm still discovering every day.
That's the beauty of it. I mean,
and that's why I moved here, because I was like, oh, what is this scene? Like, I didn't know, this is so cool. And I just found some similarities with punk and, you know, this like really dark industrial techno in Berlin. Like, it's just similar.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, God, so fun. But you first moved to Barcelona.
Yeah. Yeah, because how I had, so when I started DJing, I put up my music on SoundCloud and I started receiving messages from people here like, oh, come and play. And then I made some friends and I met this friend that was in Barcelona and she convinced, she was like, you should move here. Because I told her, no one is booking me in Mexico.
Ah, like, fuck. They were like, she only plays whatever she wants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, they were like, this is too dark, like, no, like, don't play this. And I was like, but this is cool. And then, yeah, my friend from Barcelona, she was like, oh, you should do a tour here, you should move, you can stay with me. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a tour, and if it works out, I'll see if I can move. And it really worked out. Like, I remember the first gig was in Berlin. And, you know, a guy came on stage. He was like, are you the DJ? I was like, oh, what? Because I was used to in Mexico, you know, people saying like, don't do this, don't do that. I have a request, you know, stuff like that. He was like, can you please play the darkest and most fucked up thing you have? And I was like, yes, I can. Thank you.
Amazing.
And I'm like, I need to
you're
leave
like,
here.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say.
This is my crew, you know.
Oh, my God. And 7 years ago, you said.
No, eight, because I moved to Barcelona 8 years ago, or nine almost, I think.
And that wasn't your city.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Barcelona, it's just I felt, I mean, I still love Barcelona. I just felt, I mean, 10 years ago, I felt like this like dark techno was not big yet there, or big enough.
A lot has happened.
Yeah, it changed a lot, like the last years. And then I just... I don't know, like every time I played in Berlin, I just fell in love. Like this, I was always like, this is amazing. I never wanted to leave Berlin. Mm. Every time I played here, I was like, oh, I want to stay.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of like that the scene changed a lot, how can you see it from the inside? What's your view on like, why even do you think it grows so quickly?
I don't know. I feel, honestly, it's just a, like a trend and wave, like it's always waves, you know, it comes and goes. Like the sound, it always comes and goes. I don't think it's specifically to this sound, but like, I don't know, all these years I've been seeing like some trends coming, going. I don't know, like I don't know if I can really like tell you the secret of, you know.
You don't have to.
Like, I don't know.
But if we look at Mexico then,
yeah,
because you were not very popular then when you left. But now that you come back?
Yeah, definitely. But still, I think Mexico is still not... I mean, this sound is still not as big, but they're trying. I know they're trying. Like, my agent there, he tells me that they're, like, making bigger stuff now, which is great. But yeah, like, some people don't even know I'm Mexican. I don't know. Maybe I should, like, mention it more often. But, like, I mean, a lot of Mexicans don't know me. I guess. I mean, I don't really play that often there, and not because I don't want to. It's just I don't have, like, requests like that often. But yeah, I think it's gonna change definitely. Like, I mean, I've been talking to people, and I'm gonna go there in February, and I know they're starting to do more things, more hard techno things also. But yeah, also the scene changed a lot because, like, when I lived there, like the scene was pretty small and it was kind of controlled by a small group of people and they were always the ones playing. Like,
are they still controlling it?
No.
No? And what happened with them?
I don't know. I really don't
interesting.
Know. Interesting. Yeah. And I think just the underground took over, I think. And I feel like it happened like pretty much everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, I hear so many people when I ask like what's your favorite places to tour in. I feel that almost everyone says South America.
I thought we were gonna say Mexico. It's like, no way.
No, but it's interesting. It's
I mean Colombia is insane. I was just there and it was like, it's one of the biggest scenes I've ever seen. Like, usually after a gig I would get like, for example, some followers, some comments, like, oh, it's normal. But in Colombia, I got like 1,000 new followers in just one day, just from the gig. I didn't even make any post, just from the gig.
Wow.
Yeah. And that never happened before. It's just because people there, I mean, everyone says that they're so passionate, so intense about the music and they know a lot, you know? And
yeah. They're like,
I was like, wow. Like, to me, it was such a nice feeling. And you know, the fact that I can speak Spanish to them is like, it's really nice too.
So it should come up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I know, I think people from Mexico are seeing what is happening in Colombia and they're like, ooh, okay, that looks fun, interesting. And maybe they're going to start. I don't know. I mean, it's not completely dead. Obviously, there's a lot of things happening, but like, it's not as massive as Colombia.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of, just to like hit the ground on the acting, are you still doing that? Or what happened? Like,
Well, the thing is, I took a month off to do that. So when I came back, I had so much work.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The emails.
Yeah, the emails.
Fuck.
So, no, I haven't had chance because I've been busy with that. But yeah, it's definitely on my mind. I met some people, you know, I've talked to some people. But also, I don't want to stop DJing, definitely. So if I start doing it, it's going to be on the side and whenever I have free time. Yeah. So yeah, that's my next thing. Like, I'm going to try to make some time.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
For that.
Great. But like, you've been DJing for so long. Back then, I guess, or I don't know. Could you see it as a full-time job back then?
No. When I started, it was a hobby. And actually, it's funny because I never owned like CDJs. So I always practiced at clubs. So it took me many years to be a good DJ because I never practiced. Like, the first years I like sucked really bad. Like, I was always making mistakes. Like, one time they were like, can you please come down? Like, can you not DJ?
please stop.
Yeah, yeah. They were so nervous. They were like, do you want to stop? And I was like, yeah. And I learned tricks by playing back to back with other people. Like, you know, I would be playing, they were like, you know, this is how you loop. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't.
I love that the passion was so strong. You just pushed through.
I did. I don't know how it worked out, honestly. I mean, it's been a very slow process, but I guess I didn't believe I could be a good DJ. I just started doing it because I liked it, but I didn't see myself like, oh, I'm gonna be the next, you know, I didn't think. But then in Mexico, I was opening for some like international bigger DJs, and like 2-3 of them, because I was doing the warm-up, you know, they would come after the show and they would be like, oh, you did a great job. I was like, really? Like, I didn't even know.
Really?
Like, am I okay? Like,
yeah, but how, and like, then you've done it for like a couple of years.
Yeah, but like, no one told me you're good, you know, like I didn't know. And then these DJs were telling me like, oh, it was a good set. And I was like, seriously, I didn't know. And then it's when I started putting my music on SoundCloud and like some DJs, you know, were writing me and playing my music. And I was like, oh, maybe this can work. And I had other jobs also. Like, I just, yeah, I guess I didn't take it seriously until later when I realized I was also, you know, making more money than my other job. And I really loved it a lot more than my other job. And it's like, I was thinking about it all the time.
But what's your other job?
My other job, I had several. I was working at a call center at some point.
Oh, yeah. I did that, too.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Nightmare. Yeah. I was sick all the time. From the people calling to complain and insult you, and I was getting sick all the time. I had a clothing brand for a while. I was, like, making some clothes.
Oh, wow. But that's very...
But that was very stressful and not easy at all. And you can't do that if you're not going to put all your time and attention to it. Hard work. So, yeah, and I was studying also at the same time. And, yeah, and with the rock bands also. I think that's it, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and then I decided to move to Europe, and I had to sell my car to kind of, like, buy the ticket and everything because I didn't have enough money for that. So I told my mom, like, risk. I'm going to take a big risk, but I feel like I have to. So I just sold my car and everything, and I just moved here.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like 23, I think.
But then, what did you have? What other jobs did you have then?
Here, nothing. Like, honestly, I was broke for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
You lived on the car sale?
Almost. No, I was staying with friends, so like a lot of the times. I mean, I had some gigs, but not a lot. Like it was, I had to push all the time. It was very stressful.
It is so stressful.
It was very
intense. Money.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, not finding gigs. Yeah, definitely. Mm. It was very stressful.
Like, was there ever a moment when you were like, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. I am gonna do this. This is gonna be my job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just didn't have another option. In my mind, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like,
and was before you moved.
I'm very spontaneous, and whenever I feel something, I just do it. I don't really think much about it. So that's why I moved here, and that's why I did it. I just felt it, you know. I was like, I don't know, this feels right. So I just did it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And now, but then at some point, you also started producing your own music.
Mm. I was already producing, like, the same moment I started DJing, I was already producing, but obviously, I mean, if you hear my first productions, it sounds like a joke. I mean, I didn't really know, like, no one really taught me, and I didn't also know where to look. Like, I never started production or anything, so it's been many years of slowly learning, slowly progressing.
I love that. You can let things take time and it can be great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm happy because, like, sometimes it's frustrating. I'm like, oh, I wish I could grow faster. But then other times, you know, you see people growing very fast and then dying very, very fast. And to me, I'm just trying to enjoy the process, you know? Like, it's been very slow, but it's been very exciting, too. It's been very stressful, but also I like that feeling. I like challenges.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and it's like, it feels crazy, but I like that.
When things happen, I love that too. I get bored otherwise. Otherwise, if things are too calm, I'm like, I think I'm depressed. I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, you didn't leave the house. You need a challenge.
Yeah.
So dramatic. But what's your view on, because then, you were talking a bit about the time when you felt uninspired and like lost your motivation.
Yeah.
What's your, because you've been traveling a lot, like you do tour a lot and you now you have other things that is combined with the music. But what's your view on like work-life balance and maintaining a healthy?
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, like I said, I think it's very important to maintain like a personal life. Like something that belongs to you outside of, because this job is also very, it's like a pop, you know, you're like, your image is public, like you're out there.
Yeah.
And helps to like, helps me a lot to have like a private side of me, you know, have like my private friends, like some like activities I keep on the side and.
But the touring.
To kind of like keep your feet on the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Because like the touring.
Does it affect you to travel a lot?
Because it's sometimes not being home, you feel a little lost, you know, because you don't have like a, your like your base.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine.
To me, and especially if you're alone, like you're not talking to anyone for weeks, and you know. But I always try to come back home and do something outside of work. Like I don't know, even go to the movies, whatever, see your friend, you know, like. That to me helps a lot to have a private life. And like I said, that's my more my priority now than before. And I'm really making an effort to meet new people and to really do different activities.
Where do you meet them?
I guess mutual friends, apps, I don't know. Like
apps, friends apps, or like dating apps.
Like dating apps.
Yeah.
I mean, not only for dating, but also to meet friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I did, actually, I tried last time I did this, and it was pretty nice. I had a gig in Paris and I've never done this before, but I went on this like app and I was like, oh, members in Paris, I don't know. And you know, I found someone and I said, hey, do you want to have dinner before my gig? And it was actually really nice.
A person who was gonna go to your
gig? No, like no, a random person.
And you didn't know anything, like
no.
Did you judge by the photo?
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, okay.
I mean,
was it fun?
Yeah, it was really nice. And he was an actor.
Oh,
he gave me some tips, which was really nice. And I thought I should do this more often. Like, you know, because sometimes I go to a gig and I'm alone at the, you know, hotel for like 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I should force myself to do this more. Like to meet new people, like to really enjoy the time. Because for a while I was just working all the time. I was busy all the time. I even lost some friends. You know, a lot of DJs tell me I don't have friends anymore. Like, a lot of DJs.
Because a lot of DJs are single. They cannot stay in contact with them.
Yeah, because they're just so, like, their minds are 24/7 on this job. They're always touring. Mm. Whenever they're home, they're sleeping because they're tired. Or producing. Or, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, doing stuff for work. So now I'm really forcing myself to not do that. And I'm like, you know, like sometimes I think like I see other DJs working so hard so much and I'm like, you know what, if I do that might be good for my job, but I'm not gonna be happy if I do that.
And maybe you're not gonna last, like what you said.
And it's probably not gonna last. I mean, how long can you do that for? You know?
No.
Like, I mean, maybe
a week.
Yeah. Like, if I want to make this sustainable, you know, I need to find a way. And I'm more happy this way. It's less stressful. Like, you take off, you know, and, you know, you talk to other people and they're like, oh, how can I grow my following? How can I do this and that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I really don't want to think about that.
I can only imagine. Those topics are, like, I can imagine it's important and it's relevant because it's about getting money in the end and doing it
and
as a job.
And growing as an artist.
But, yeah.
But it's just so...
just so boring.
I can see, like, people get so stressed about it and depressed.
And so much pressure.
I just think it's not worth it. Yeah. I mean, to put so much of your energy into that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not sustainable, you know? Yeah. And I've been doing this for a long time, so I know. Like, I know if, like, you push things too hard, it's not going to last. So you kind of need to find, like, a rhythm.
Yeah.
Like, for how sure. far can you go without losing yourself, you know? How much you can push with and still be have your feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you need to find a balance to make this sustainable.
We have now come to the part of the podcast where if you are or want to become a Patreon and listen to the extra material, you'll get to hear about Lukier's view on how to focus her energy to evolve and the lessons she learned on how to grow your name as a DJ, as well as how she attains her goals and what works for her. Go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine.
I mean, it's so hard also, but because you can get confused from social media because people look so happy and you can only imagine that they probably must be so happy when they're so successful and people love what they do and
but
such.
They're not, like, I know it's not, you know, we're not gonna post every time we're crying, for example, like, you know, but it's very tough, like, not sleeping
when
when COVID travel. Started I mean I didn't even feel like partying, so I stopped drinking like nothing. I was like, I don't want to take anything, and now I rarely drink anymore, like at gigs, alcohol. Like, I just, only if I don't feel connected that day, you know, maybe it's like I just woke up, I arrived to the club, I just don't feel the energy. If I feel disconnected, maybe I take a shot or two to kind of get in the mood. But I mean, I do drink on my free days, like now, but I don't, that's one thing I decided to do to have, to keep the energy for touring. And a lot of DJs become sober just because you can't handle it. Like, already not sleeping and traveling so much.
Being hungover and travel?
Is the worst.
The nightmare.
Yeah, you can, like, I fell asleep once or twice at the airport and I almost missed my flight, you know? So it's like, and especially if you talk to, like, the, like, I mean, not everyone, of course, but some of the biggest DJs, like, you know, they're completely sober. They take this very seriously and professionally. You know, it's a job and they're professional and they're not partying, you know? They're not. Like, it's really serious thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, fun, party. Like, well, it's also a job. And, you know, like, if you want to keep, you know, your mental health and energy, and you want to last, you really have to take this seriously and, you know, protect yourself, your health, be healthy. You have to be healthy. Also, I was, I started going more to the gym, doing more cardio because I want to have more, what's it?
Pace?
Like? Pace? Not
better pace.
I know the word in Spanish.
What is it in Spanish?
Oh, you know, like, when I'm DJing, I don't want to get too tired.
Yeah, that's pace, I think.
Pace? Okay.
The
I don't know.
In Swedish, it's kondition.
Exactly that.
People who only listen are like, what the fuck are they doing? Or like, she.
I practice that. It's essential for DJing, basically.
Oh my god. Perfect. I'm not embarrassed. All right, I have some this or that questions for you.
Yeah.
It's either this or it's that. This is this or that.
Burgers or oysters?
Burgers.
Yeah?
Yes.
No shells.
I mean, I like them, but I prefer burgers.
Yeah. Introvert or extrovert?
Ooh, I think so weird. I feel like I'm an introvert, but some days I, like, change.
Yeah.
But I think I'm mostly introvert. And some days I'm like, woo.
Yeah.
And then I turn into, like, an introvert again.
Same. I don't know what it is about. I don't know
both,
If it's the people I meet or if it's me.
Maybe. I think it's both, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't care and I'm, like, super social and... And other days, I can't even talk to people.
Yeah.
And like, some days, I feel so shy that I'm DJ. I can't even make eye contact to the crowd. I, you know, like,
oh,
I just
wow.
feel very, like...
Interesting.
Shy. I don't know.
Do you feel that there's a difference on the connection? Like, when you're shy like that, do you feel that the gigs turn out differently?
Yeah, I feel like it's a mix of the crowd and yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, what energy you bring to the crowd and if they're receptive, you know. If you put, like, if you give yourself to the crowd and they don't take it, then, you know, there's not much you can do.
True.
But if you give that, it's kind of like a conversation, you know, you give something, you receive something, yeah. And then it can be very playful if, you know, mm-hmm. if they're receptive. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
No, for sure. I can really see
but
that.
But yeah, I'm the same as you, I think. With some people, I'm very outgoing. And yeah. With other people, I just can't even talk. I'm just quiet.
It's so like, weird. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with them. What's wrong with you, Amanda? Definitely me. It's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Champagne or beer?
Champagne. I'm not drinking beer so much at the moment.
Nope.
I like it, but yeah, no.
Yeah. Mm. Night in or night out?
Night in.
Night in.
100%.
Same. I'm a planner. Like when I have nights out, I prefer to plan. Yeah. If I have too many spontaneous nights, like people force me out, I get completely drained. Like I need to prepare myself mentally.
I mean, my job is night out. So yes. Whenever I'm not working, night in, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't want to be out all the time.
I'm so looking forward to having a night in. Love it.
Me too. And when I don't have a gig, I'm like, oh, I can stay.
Ah, the best. Okay, psychology or spirituality?
Spirituality.
Yeah?
I'm very into that.
Are you, do you believe in God?
Well, that's a big topic.
But I felt also as a Mexican, and I know the culture is very strong, and there's a lot of like...
True. Well, I do believe in a higher power thing. Mm. I don't know if I should call it God, I guess.
Yeah,
it
same.
Has many names,
yeah, I think. Sometimes I feel the word God is a bit...
It's like very wide. Yeah. Like, I can't just, you know, pinpoint to, oh, this God specifically.
Mm.
But I do, there was a time I was reading a lot of books about quantum physics, for example. So I do like science, but I'm really into spirituality and I really like combining both.
Mm. Yeah.
And I meditate a lot. But yeah, mostly I just really love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm. Big festival crowd or intimate club gig?
Ooh, that's hard. Probably small, intimate. But if it's small, it has to have the best energy.
Yeah.
If it has, like, the best energy, that's the best you can have. But also, like, it's just big crowds are very impressive. And it creates, like, a very, I don't know. I feel very, like, excited and, like, impressed.
Mm.
But, yeah, the energy in a small club is, like, you can't fight with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Documentaries or crap TV?
Documentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip the line or wait patiently?
Skip the line, obviously. I have no patience.
All right. But would you go in front of people and sneak in?
Oh, well, if I can, I mean...
If no one sees you, then...
Yeah, I mean, if I have the option, like, I'm allowed, but I don't want to... Yeah, I mean, I'm not really, like, naughty, you know, like, oh, fuck you, no, like, not like that. Like, if I have the option to skip, yes, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
Without pushing too much.
Without, yeah.
All right. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix. Yeah.
Teaching others or being taught?
Maybe teaching.
Yeah.
I mean, depends what you're teaching me. You know, because I can get bored easily if it's not something I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
But I really like to share my experiences that I've learned with people.
Yeah, so probably teaching them.
Yeah.
So
teaching.
Last one. Ayahuasca or a silent retreat?
I haven't done ayahuasca, but I think I would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like. I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca. Okay.
Thank you so,
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you for having
You are
me.
So lovely.
Yeah.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists or even ask your own question to one of our guests, Follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.